Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Better late than never, I say, you bunch of dadgum lowlifers. We gonna have some fun tonight. Patiently, not so patiently. I see y'all. I said 6:15, 6:30-ish. Come on now. It happens every night. Every damn night. And I ain't never No. I mean, I did get in the Tito's. I have not. The summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting 45,000. Come on. Sing. This highway does not know my name. Nope. And I don't care. No, I don't care. Nope. Heading my way for another place. And I got three good tires and a spare. Right to the hook right here. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there. Low budget live, actually live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And sorry I'm late. I see y'all giving me a hard ass time in the comments. Dadgum, man. A man can't even have a slice of pizza for his fat self. Appreciate y'all waiting on me. We've got some cool guests tonight. We got some fun guests tonight. Y'all are blowing up the comments already. Colton Story says he's back. He's been busy weighing them dogs. I have indeed. My life got completed during the Alabama Bass Trail this weekend because I got to weigh in a wiener dog on stage. And you know what? That's probably the greatest moment in weigh-in history, I think, for a bass tournament. So, in my opinion, I think so. It was for me anyways. Like, I love seeing people win and their lives change and all that. But, dude, you weigh a wiener dog, you've done something. And shout out Little Dicky. That was the wiener dog's name. And he was not a Little Dicky because he weighed 16 pounds, to be fair. Let's see. I'm trying to see some of these. Glad you was late. I was eating, Scott Clark said. Yeah, I was eating. And I've got a special guest here that's going to join us right now in studio. In studio. He's new to the low lifer world, not new to my world. He is one of my compadres, one of my Southern Boating Supply brothers from another mother, and a great human being. Ladies and gentlemen, he's standing over here waiting in the wings right now. Todd Hammond is going to join us tonight for this show. He's coming on here. Todd, slide in here. Tell the lowlifers hello.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, Todd is in town for some business. All right, there you go right there, Todd. Right there. So you can see yourself. We didn't do your makeup. I apologize. Your close-up right there is your microphone. Yeah, Todd is in town to do some business. And so, Todd, I got to know Todd through the MPFL. His son Hayden is a hammer over there with the MPFL. One thing led to another. Now, so Todd's whole deal was the Woods to Water Outdoor Company we talked about at the Classic. So he's got the apparel company, got the rep group, and now got Southern Boating Supply.
Which is awesome.
Southern Boating Supply is the is kind of at the epicenter of all this, and got me and this guy right here together, one of the best human beings you will ever meet. What's up, Todd? Mm-hmm. Trey Lee said, what's up, Todd? Somebody says he's got a 23-pound wiener right there, Todd.
Oh, really?
That's solid, sir. That's solid. That ain't Little Dicky. I saw Little Dicky on stage. He was 16 pounds. That ain't Little Dicky right there. I appreciate all y'all hanging in. 119,000 so far. We've got guests that are going to come in. We got Todd Hammond in the house this week. He and I are going to get on the water with a special person tomorrow, maybe catch some bass. We're going to see. Todd, come closer. He won't bite. Come on in, Todd. The water is fine, they're saying right there, those lowlifers. That's the That is the that's the triple threat seat right there.
Oh, is it?
Studio. Yeah, that's the triple threat seat. She's
that's
in the
lucky seat.
That's the lucky seat. Yeah, that's for sure. She's in the house tonight. We look really red tonight. These lights are bright as hell. Oh well, we will figure it out at some other point. So got to thank real quick, y'all. Fish Tips. This episode is brought to you by Fish Tips, folks at fishtips.com. Get on there and get you some information. Maybe you're like me, you're traveling all around the place. Maybe you don't want to hire a guide. Maybe you just want to know general information about a lake. You can find very detailed to kind of general information, whatever you want at fishtips.com. Get on there. It's another avenue for guides, professional anglers alike to make some cash. It's a really cool deal. Fishtips.com. Gilfishing.com. Use code LBLGIFT to save. Actually, you're not going to save anything. My bad. Wrong ad read. LBLGIFT. We'll get you a gift when you spend $100. See, Gil Fishing right there. You can get you a rain suit. We wrap some Gil stuff out there in life. It is nice stuff. Got some new sun shirts coming. Got a new hoodie coming.
Yeah.
Putting them on the spot right now.
Top of the line.
Top of the line. It, good as it gets. GilFishing.com. ProGuyBatteries.com. You can save money with LBL10. I'm all over the place. I haven't had that much Tito's. I promise you. LBL10 will save you some cash. Let them know you're a low lifer at ProGuyBatteries.com on the new lithiums. Bait-Works.com. Duncan-10 saves you money there. Y'all know the spiel. You can get them LOB jigs all day long there, amongst other things. And last but not least, Hang the Banner Express Boats. The Bassmaster Classic winning aluminum bass boat, the X21 Pro LE is what I'm running this year. They just released that new H20. Check it out, expressboats.com. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right, here we go. Here we go. Now we in it. Now we in the show, Todd. We've got all the
we got it
all going. Thank y'all, so many of y'all. And obviously, y'all all aren't here tonight. Over 40-something thousand people watched the James Watson episode. Did you watch the James Watson
episode? I watched it. It was awesome.
It was a good time, right?
I loved it, dude.
Every bit of it, right?
Yeah.
It was a good time. I think a lot of people thought he would go a little harder in the paint, but this fish boat, and you can see it. These comments are FBD, FBD, fish boat docs. It's amazing to see it, like in all the comments everywhere, fish boat docs, fish boat docs, fish boat docs. It came up so many times on the ABT stage. It's amazing. And James is sitting somewhere counting the money from them hats.
He's done well.
He's done well with the hats. Nick just said, sure, Luke, that edible is working. I promise you. Now, look, I'll tell you straight up, I'm not a man to shy away from an edible. You know, I do like an adult gummy bear from time to time, but I have not had one tonight because let me tell you, Nick, let me tell you how you would know that I had had an edible. I'd be like this. Y'all got any Oreos?
Yeah.
Hey, man. That's how you know that I had an edible.
We'll be munching, won't we?
Yeah. We'd be having Doritos. Trust me, I'm going to eat something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to eat something on a damn edible. But I do like a damn edible now from time to time. I will not lie to you lowlifers. I'm not above it. Actually, there's a decal on this crappie gummies.
Ooh.
It's on the MacBook over here. Todd said, woof. We met them together at the East Tennessee Fishing Show, man. And
I like going crappy fishing every night before I go to bed.
It says they'll slap the crappy out of you, and they weren't lying at all, were they? I tried to get them to sponsor the show. I begged them. The only sponsor I ever tried to beg for. I was like, hey, man, y'all want to sponsor a fishing podcast?
I think I'd pay them to sponsor me. You know?
Y'all want to sponsor a fishing podcast? Can y'all tell I ain't in corporate America anymore? Amen, Southern Boating Supply.
We're going to get a swear jar up, ain't it?
So Mark Shannon says, haven't found an edible as good as the real thing. Buddy, now listen. Whoo, there's some good ones out there. Some of them that'll make you hear the echo returns. I have a friend. He will remain nameless on this show. He tried to kill me at a fishing tournament a couple years ago. I won't tell that story on here. Protect the innocent. But, yeah, some of them, that hurts you now. Michael Chevy says, so that's how we get to you to shut up. Well, here's the thing. With that, I host a podcast, Michael. I'm supposed to talk. You know, I am a talker. I get paid to talk. I'm an MC. I'm a commentator. But yes, indeed. And here's the thing I will tell on myself. Why did we go down this rabbit hole? Damn you, Nick. Yeah. I've never told everybody that I like edibles. So it is how you get me to stop talking. But the thing is like, I think that I'm talking.
I'm wanting to talk.
Marissa's like, you just stare at me like you have something really poignant to say, and then you don't say anything. And I'll just be like, just watching The Simpsons on the couch.
You think your lips are moving.
Dude, like you get up the nerve to say something. You think you're fixing to say something so funny, and then you just... And you just there.
You think about it, it's funny to you, though.
Even the next day, you're like, man, I made such a good joke. And nobody heard it. And nobody heard it. No, y'all good, Michael. Y'all good. Man, we went down that rabbit hole. That was not low budget live. But they know I'm going to be honest. I don't care at all. No edibles around here tonight, unfortunately, because I have to talk. If that doesn't happen when I'm talking. Before we've got a guest coming on just here in a few minutes, our first guest of the evening. We're going to have a couple guests tonight. Really excited about it. Todd, there's a lot of craziness going on. There's craziness going on in the sport of pro fishing, and I want to get the low lifers' opinions on this. And first of all, I want to say congrats to John Garrett on winning the Elite Series. No surprise there. I think it's incredible. The rookies are holding court, son. Them rookies are it's amazing to see the new names up there, between, like Koya winning Toledo Bend. Then you got Trey McKinney. Trey McKinney makes the top 10 again. Now you got Johnny Garrett, JT Tompkins. They're all up there in the mix, these young guns.
Yeah.
And I know we can talk it all day long about forward facing or whatever. Yeah. I've known John Garrett many years. That kid is beyond talented. And I think that everybody expected him to hoist a blue trophy this year, to be honest. Like, he's just that guy, and he certainly got it done down in Florida. My thing is, I saw a clip. I want to throw this out there. I saw a clip of an elite angler catching one on a jerkbait. I actually watched it live, snagging it in the belly. It was in the belly. When it came in the boat, it was in the belly. Now, look, I have used LiveScope since day one when it came out. It was with Garmin and all that good stuff. So what's our take on that, low lifers? What's your take on that? When you're sight fishing, it's got to be hooked inside the mouth.
Yeah.
Man, I throw swim baits at them. I throw jerk baits at them a lot of times. I throw topwaters at them when I see them on live a lot of times. Like, a fish will get a bait outside the mouth. Like, they'll swipe at it. You'll hook them, all that. This was in the belly when he lipped it. And I'm like, all right. Are we that good? Because, dude, I honest to God don't think I could snag, but I'm not that good with live scope.
Right.
It's not against the rules. So are people doing this, and will we see a rule change, and do we need to see a rule change? I don't know.
Whew.
I don't know.
That's a tough one. Actually.
It's a tough one. And I've heard from some veteran elite guys have texted me about this, like wanting my thoughts on it for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, it don't look good.
Yeah.
I know that. Like, it ain't against the rules. It ain't against the rules. It don't look good.
Yeah.
Also, again, I see a lot of blobs that I throw my crap by.
Yeah.
And I've never snagged one on lights, but some of these guys are really dialed. I don't know. Will we see a rule change? What do you think?
I think you will with all the stuff that's happened the past couple of years.
Do you think it'll be that? Do you think they'll limit it? Do you think, I mean, there's a lot of chatter out there right now, man. There's a lot. Like, it's only, this movement against it is only getting stronger by the day. I will say that. And I think the leagues are listening.
Yeah.
I do think they're listening more than the casual fan gives them credit for. I do think they're taking notes. Are they going to change something mid-season? Abso-freaking-lutely not.
Yeah, they won't.
You know, maybe the season is moving away from it a little bit, but they did it down at the Harris Chain a little bit too. I know MLF's going two tidal rivers in a row, so maybe they'll catch a break with it there. But Dale Hollow, Jacob Wheeler again wins.
Yeah.
Stacked up, you know, him, Dustin Connell, Alton Jones Jr. making another cut. Incredible, but another – forward-facing tournament. Yeah. I mean, it's April. Andy Morgan made a video. He's like, it's April. There are fish on the bed, and they're crushing them out in the middle of the lake. Yeah. Even Andy Morgan himself said he gave in and live-scoped a little bit. But, like, the game has changed.
Yeah.
Certainly has. But I do think this movement is, as bad as I hate to say it, it is getting a little traction. I think I do think we'll see some changes after this year.
I do, too. I think you'll see two different things. Forward-facing sonar, one league, no forward-facing sonar.
You think so?
I think
you think somebody will ban it outright?
I think so.
You have some insider information? Who you been talking
to? Really, I don't know. I mean, I like what an Alan Brooks guy did. You know?
Yeah, I
mean,
yeah, I thought it was cool. Well, you know, in the saltwater world, we do see it with that the deal for Marlin. That's like a souped up live scope. Right. They can see a mile and all, and they have different classifications now.
That's right.
So they have four and against. So it's I don't know, man. I think I don't want to see it banned. I never want to see technology banned. I've talked about it on here a bunch. I think that banning things in the outdoors is a slippery slope.
Yeah.
How are you going to ban it and not ban spot lock? How are you going to ban it and not ban mapping? How are you going to ban, you know, I've gone down this rabbit hole so many times. Y'all low lifers hear me. Y'all know. Y'all know this. But that one got me, though, because it was, dude, it was straight up in the belly. Ooh. Like it. And again, was it on purpose? Was it not? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not trying to throw that kind of shade out there, but I do think that is pretty interesting. So BPT only listens to Jacob Wheeler and Dustin Connell. Here's what I'll say about that. There've been some anglers upset and leaving BPT.
Yeah.
Look, dude, I think next year it might just be a Jacob Wheeler and Dustin Connell. Every Turner just be a cage match. Just be them two over
just
there.
Just let them battle it out.
In this round, Jacob and Dustin. In the next round, Jacob and Dustin. I don't know. And guess what? Boyd and crew, they'll be fine with it. It'll be okay. The people probably still watch Jacob and Dustin just fish against each other every single week. But so far, for those keeping score at home, between Dustin and Jacob, they've won every tournament they've had this year, including Red Crest. They've won all of them. Yeah. They've won all of them. So I was texting Jacob yesterday, and I'm like, maybe throw the next one? Like, I don't know, to keep from getting tar and feathered? I don't know, dude. Maybe think about that. I don't know, bud. But it's every fish counts format is made for forward facing sonar. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But I think it definitely would. I think five fish over there would make it a little more entertaining again, because when somebody gets such a big lead, I'm just out.
Yeah.
I'm watching it, you know. I love watching fishing. Obviously, I watch hours of it. But I don't know. It's hard to say. With forward facing seems to be built for five fish too.
Yeah.
We're catching some of the biggest stringers we've ever caught. So I don't know. I'm trying to get through these comments. Y'all are killing me. Tarpon guys are smashing it with forward. I bet that's playing huge, dude. I bet a tarpon on live scope. I bet that would get me excited. God. Seeing that big joker swimming around.
That'd be awesome.
Feed him a cricket. Come on with it. All right. Why is there other restrictions in bass fishing? Why can't you use a 300 horsepower? Yeah, I see that, Mark. Yeah, I say let them put one in 500 Mercury's on there. Let's go. Let's see. I forget who it was, and I apologize if you're watching. Somebody sent me an Instagram message or Facebook and said, what if we did it like a salary cap where you could only spend so much? And I was truly mind blown by that comment. I'm like, that is a damn good idea.
That's a great idea.
That's a good idea. You can actually control. Okay, you can only spend X on electronics. And then you. Yeah. Now, how you police that, I don't know, because maybe some old boy gets a discount. Maybe some old boy pays full retail. I don't know. Maybe they do it off of the retail value of the units. I don't know. But somebody said that, and I'm like, that's not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Not a terrible idea. Speaking of not terrible ideas, we're going to bring a guy on right now that had an idea that's been somewhat controversial at times. And I got to know this fella during the during the last fall. And the first time he called me, I'm like, I had heard the controversy, and I'm like, you know, we're good. And then he goes, no, just hear me out, bro. Hear me out. Yeah. And I talked to you about this. And so talked to this fella. He tells me his ideas, his dreams, his plans. And I was like, dude, I'm in. It converted me immediately. I wanted to get him on here. We've been trying to do this for over a month now. And making it happen tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the co-founder, original thought thinker, I'll say that, not even co-founder, and a big bass master, I will say. He is a glide bait slanging big bass catcher. The founder, I'll say, instead of co-founder, he can correct me. He will as well. Of Fish Tips, ladies and gentlemen, Austin Neary. What's up, dude?
Dude, you know, you're always supposed to under promise and then over deliver. I don't know how I'm supposed to come in with an entrance like that. I feel like I should have strobe lights and music.
Hang on a second. I got you, dog. You're welcome. Right there. Right there. What's up, Austin?
Well, what is going on, guys? How are y'all doing?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Listen, I'm a little jaded. I didn't trademark the salary cap idea because I talked about that about 3 months ago, and then it got a lot of traction. And the way I thought about it was like, hey, what is standard MSRP that the average Joe has to pay, you know, and then take that as a salary cap. So if a live scope system and everything's $5,000, then that's $5,000, but limit it to like, I don't know, $30,000, where you got to choose between power pull charge, live scope, spot lock, all these little gizmos and gadgets. And then you really weigh what the pros feel like is the most valuable to them and their game plans. And then you really get to see how specific strategies play and so forth. So anyways, that was, I'm 99.99% sure I founded that idea, but and I'm glad it got a little bit of traction.
Hey, if it gets traction, I'm gonna give you credit for it right here. I'm gonna say you founded that as well. That's what I'm gonna say. Somebody asked me, I'm gonna be like, dude, Austin told me that in a bar a long time ago at the Classic.
So I'm gonna tell him. I don't know about that.
I'm gonna say he was dancing on tables, but singing Biloxi Blue. Dude, welcome to Low Budget Live with the Low Lifers here.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited to be here, man. I think the world of obviously what you got going on, and obviously, dude, I just think you're a dadgum stun, Luke, and I didn't know you were a big bait thrower until just the other day, dude. Man, you dropped some knowledge on me.
Dude, and so, absolutely cracked them after I talked to you the other day again on the old big glider. I love it so much, man. Yeah, actually, I do it a good bit. We talked about that the other day. You're like, what? I said, hey, listen, don't let the redneck accent fool you. Don't let the tournament record fool you. I get out there and sling at them. Now, I don't catch no 10-pounders. I'm not Kevin Van Dam. I'm Kevin Van Decent. You know? That's just that's it. But it's okay. We have a good time.
That's pretty good.
I'm not a guru like you.
Man, that's pretty good.
So you kind of came onto the scene with this whole fish tips thing and pissed a whole bunch of people off. You and I've talked about this, and people are like, oh, tar and feather him. Pitchforks.
Yeah.
And after you and I talked and talked with your entire team, I'm like, okay. I think I understood more about the vision of it and why this idea came about. But for low lifers that don't know, where did this idea come from? If they've never heard you talk about it, let's get them like square one where this idea came from.
Yeah, so I'm a full-time guide in Western North Carolina. I own and operate Dreamcatcher Guides. I started it as a collegiate angler. I was a baseball player, got hurt, started a college fishing team where I competed against John Garrett, one of my very good friends. And, I was a guide, dude, just creating content, YouTube videos, Instagram content, so much content, and guiding people. And dude, it was always, and let me tell you something, if you're a tournament pro, if you're a decent local expert, if you're a fishing guide, you know how many people can hit you up for, hey man, I'm coming to the lake this week. Yes, what's been going on?
Got one tonight. Got one tonight for my guy about Pickwick.
Yeah. So I'm a guide, right? So naturally my first instinct is like, hey, do you want to book a guide trip? And they'd be like, no, man, I can't afford a guide trip. Or I'm booked. I do 300 trips a year, dude. I just can't service everybody that wants a trip. So I'm like, okay, like they obviously value my information. They value my opinion on how they should be fishing. But I'm a guide. Like, I don't know if you can hear the stampede upstairs. Those are my kids. Like they have to eat. We live in a house. I have a mortgage. This is how I provide for my family. So I can't just give my knowledge away for free. As much as I love to see people catch fish, like the Lord has allowed me to, you know, monetize my knowledge and my, advice and years of experience through guiding. So I'm like, you know, people want my knowledge, but I'm like, this, I'm a guide. I can't just give it away for free. Well, anyways, you know, I kind of would one-off charge people. We do like a consulting thing or something. But one day a guy reaches out, wants to book a trip. We smash him, big smallmouth on a glide on my home lake up in up in Western North Carolina. And we had like 22 pounds, all smallmouth on a glide. And he's like, dude, so much fun. I want to book another trip tomorrow. I'm like, brother, I'm booked for like the rapture. Like I'm booked for 4 months. You ain't going to be with me for a while. And he said, well, I have my own boat. And I said, well, here's the deal. I said, I'll write you a dialed in tip of exactly how I'd guide you, some areas to hit, some things to look for, changing conditions, and just fish it exactly how I said, you know. And he went out and he smashed him again. And he's texting me. He's like, man, this is like, that's awesome, bro. And then he's like, dude, do you think this could be a business? And I said, man, every guide, every pro, every fisherman that has lots of knowledge is always hit up for info. And I'm like, yeah, I think this is a business. I just don't even know where to go. Like, I'm just a country boy that likes to guide. And he's like, well, I have a tech background. I think we could build a platform around this for guides to make secondary passive income for, you know, pro anglers, for guys who just constantly, like, if you think about it, the industry is built on the content of the content creator. And a lot of times the content creator has real no way to passively monetize their content. They can sell sponsorship to their following. They can do the thing, but their following desires their knowledge. So it's like, well, if you can just monetize your knowledge, what's that look like? Because traditionally, once again, dude, as a guide, as a tournament pro, how do you make money? You have to be on the water. My son has a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Am I supposed to just say, well, I can't make $350 bucks or $400. I just forfeit my money. Like, no, like I have like, okay, I know how to go catch him. I'm sure someone's going to the lake. I wonder if I can sell digital guide trips. And dude, it has taken off. Yes, there was some controversy because everyone's like this technology thing, right? Oh my gosh, forward facing sonar, this, you know, all these opinions and everything going around, like this is more technology, but at the end of the day, it's a service led customer service oriented product. I want to see father and son make memories on the water. They still want to support me, and the transaction can occur on a, you know, platform. So.
Yeah, man. And obviously your passion comes through for it. And I hope everybody can feel that, because I certainly did the first time I talked to you. And something that you said to me, because I obviously with this show, I'm passionate about professional anglers, professional tournament fishing guides. I have so many dear friends. I've done it myself. But the angle that you guys are actually trying to assist professional anglers to be able to make a better living and guides is not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. And for me, really, when I really think about this, right, and you and I've had this conversation many times, Austin, is I take a lake like Pickwick. I mean, I know a dozen guys that are there every single day, 7 days a week, fishing the same stuff. You know what I mean? Over and over. Because originally, I think the cry was, man, they're going to give up the juice on the lakes and they're going to do. That happens every day, whether you like it or not. It's been happening for 50 years that way, right? So ever since somebody decided to monetize themselves as a fishing guide, like this thing is out there. And I think if used correctly, this platform is one of the reasons I wanted to work with you guys, is I really do think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for the receiving angler, the one actually purchasing the tip. I think it's a good thing for the guide or the pro. I mean, I was talking to a dear friend of mine that's a guide on Pickwick, and I'm like, why wouldn't you want to assist somebody that's coming to the area? You're getting those Facebook messages, you're getting those Instagram messages, the texts, you're getting the calls, and you can't physically take them, much like your story. Why wouldn't you go, yeah, man, go run this pattern for X amount of money and give that up? You don't, and it's all up to the person posting the tip, correct? Like, they don't have to do waypoints. Like, it can be as detailed as you want it to be or not, right?
Yeah, I had a great conversation today with David Dudley, who was like, really like, man, what do you guys have going on? And I explained it to him, and he's like, wow, this is really cool. You guys are really, you know, like changing the content distribution model in a way that's favorable for pros and guides. And I'm like, totally, 100%. And he's like, well, you know, he's like, I'm never going to go back to Dale Hollow Lake. He's like, do I give away like exact pockets or creek arms? And I'm like, dude, whatever you value it, however you value it, if you think it's valuable and a customer would want David Dudley's professional advice on how to fish Dale Hollow Lake
this certain week, right? Like, it's all, that's a very, you're not going to go 3 weeks from now and probably be able to utilize that information.
This is the unique thing on the platform that we're starting to see guys do to increase the shelf life of what we call the product or the you know, digital guide tip. You know, like I've been doing comprehensive breakdowns. Like I just posted a tip today for I went to Lake Lanier this weekend. I did a comprehensive breakdown on how I would fish Lake Lanier from right now until the middle of May. So now all of a sudden you have a 1 month tip that's like, hey, this is what they're doing, this is what they should be doing, and this is how it's going to progress, and this is how I would attack them. So now all of a sudden guys are really learning. Like, this was the thing that confused me, is everyone's always paid for education. Like, education is just something you pay for. Like, if you went to college, you paid for education. If you watch YouTube, you pay for education with your time. Everyone pays for education. So it's like, hey, this is just another form of education. And these are very dialed in experts on their bodies of water, breaking it down. And once again, my desire. So we had people that were like, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach him how to fish, feed him for a lifetime. And I'm like, okay, well, where does fish tips land? Am I giving a guy a fish? Because Lord knows I ain't setting the hook for him. I ain't casting for him. I ain't bait. You know, like, he still has to go figure it out. What I'm offering is, as a professional guide, my professional advice on how to, you know, continue to learn and grow and use this to progress as an angler. For so long, I mean, dude, on your show, actually today I talked to Wesley Strader.
Dude, he said, dude, I don't know about this Austin, dude. I don't know. I don't know, dude.
Dude, you sound dude, just like him.
You know how many hours I've got listening to that weed eater voice? Come on, man. In my life. It's my brother right
Wesley,
there.
Wesley and Brad Knight were on your show talking about they have given away so much knowledge for free. And then we're wondering why all these young guys are like whipping everyone's tails now. It's like, well, you've educated everybody for so long for free. And it's
giving
like,
it away.
It's like, that's right. And my whole thought is that I'm like, man, there's platforms where in our industry where professionals make content and then those platforms make a majority of the money. What we're doing is simply like Airbnb. It's like Uber. It's, hey, you make the content. What we're trying to do is just streamline, like, hey, all the information should go to a singular place, whether it's tarpon fishing in Southwest Florida, whether it's fly fishing in the mountains of Colorado, whether it's bass fishing on Lake Lanier, whether it's snook fishing, whether it's salmon fishing in Washington. Like, why don't we go to a centralized hub where all the experts' content lives? And then everybody, because more eyeballs come to a singular platform and it creates more value for everybody. That's the point of fish tips. And we just take out a small transaction fee and we want to reward the guys who make the content. The industry is built on the unbelievable minds and content of the content creators.
No doubt about it, that really do get the shaft. Like that's the bottom line. Like, I mean, we want to be real on here, which I am. Like, the anglers in the overall, like, sponsorship scheme, it's like, oh, here's $2,000 a year from X lure company. And if you're like, really? Yeah, that's a deal that a lot of people have. And then they go make hours and hours and hours and hours of content for company X to get that $2,000. And they're super excited to get it. But then company X sells however many crankbaits and this, that, and the other off of that tip and that. So I know I love it, man. Put the power back in the angler's hands, essentially.
Ultimately, as a capitalist, if I think about it from a big corporation standpoint, right, I want the best ROI. So I'm going to try to pay pros as least as I can to get the most money I can.
Of course.
So I don't want to call it manipulation, because obviously the pros have the opportunity to say no and negotiate for better contracts. But what we're creating is like, hey, you create the content, you should make the money. It's that simple. And, you know, I learned a lesson early on not to name drop on podcasts, because I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of guys. But
I don't know that story.
Say what?
I said, I don't know that story, but let's name drop. I'm here for it. I get accused of it all the time.
You're Luke Duncan. You can name drop. I'm just little old Austin from the mountains. But the reality is I'm like, dude, a lot of people when we first started, they were given hypotheticals. Well, this could happen or that could happen. And like, we've been around for a year now. None of that is happening. And literally 38% of our buyers are repeat buyers. We've had thousands of transactions. So when you think about that, it's like, holy cow, like people, the buyers are seeing, or the customers, the recreational anglers, they're seeing a lot of value in the product. And then the digital guides, it's not just about the money. This is the great thing. Dude, you wouldn't even like, we see it on our end, obviously, because we track everything, but so many guys have so many fans and people that want to support them, and they want to go on guide trips with them, and they want to do all these things, but they just, the guides literally can't service everybody. So it's a great way to build relationships, help people succeed. So it's awesome. What fake name do you think Jake uses to buy spots?
I was saying James Watson. So, this is James Watson. That's why I'm calling that James Watson. And I would say Mike Honcho for James Watson. I didn't even think about the other JW, to be honest. When I read that comment, I just wanted to bust Watson's ass. That's the only reason I put that up there. Watson's in the comments, but like,
that was the thing that immediately in the industry, the pros were like, oh, this is something for the pros to cheat. And my mind's like, not even there. My mind is like, no, this is something for you guys to make money with. Like, so many people value your guys' information. So you guys should hop on the platform as sellers. And guys are starting to come around. Ish Monroe's on our platform. Ben Milliken's on our platform.
John Murray?
John Murray's the on legend, our platform, dude. Yeah. I could go through a long list of guys that are like, once they kind of understand, like, holy cow. And here's the deal. Once again, dude, how many times are you getting hit up for info? And there's no way to monetize it. It's always an awkward conversation. It's like, dude, now it's like, hey, this is a digital guide service. This is how I would guide you digitally. Like, here it is. It's not a secret, but you're going to have to pay $150, $200, $100, whatever the guys value it at.
No, I love it, man. And I think so many people, just because the fishing community is really tight-knit, it's a small industry. You see a guy at a show, you think you're buds, you kind of talk. But what I think some people don't realize is a fishing guide, like, that's what he does to feed his family. If he gives you that information, he's giving away what he's worked however many hours the week before to gain, right? I mean, so it's not fair, in my opinion, to ask a guy to give you, and it's different if you're super, you know, best buds with somebody, whatever. I get all that. But I'm saying, like, to message a guide on Instagram and say, hey man, I'm coming to Lake Norman this weekend. What do I need to do? And you're like, well, you need to get in. And I've had people over the years say, well, this guy told me, pay me $500 and come get in the boat with me and I'll show you what to do. And that guy's a freaking jerk for saying that. And I'm like, that's what he does for a living. What if he called you and said, hey man, whatever your day job is, will you do that for free tomorrow? Well, no, you're not going to do that. Not in the least.
Yeah. So I'll tell you this. I had this happen a while back. A guy hit me up and was like, hey man, what lake were you on where you were doing this, that, and the other? And I'm like, hey man, I just can't tell you that. Like, it's a very noticeable spot. There's a, you know, big thing over my shoulder while we're GoProing and stuff. And I'm like, I just can't tell you. And he was like, man, you're a douchebag. And I'm like, what do you do for a living? And he said he's a landscape architect. And I said, well, I'm not going to like call you, have you come to my house, do a whole landscape architecture for free.
That's right.
Like, would you expect me to want that for free? And he goes, well, I guess not, but you're still a douchebag. And I'm like, well, I'm a douche, but I'm not cheap. I'm like, I would pay you. So, you know, like, you know, you can't win a lot of times with people, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I really, our whole team really believes in what we have going on. You know, man, I like when I think about what is the sole purpose of fishing, like I'm a Christian, I'm very imperfect. My God, I'm imperfect, but the great outdoors were given to us to enjoy them and use them for God's glory. Part of using them for God's glory is people like me providing for their family. Other parts of God's glory is making memories and enjoying his beautiful creation. So for me, it's an unbelievable opportunity for both digital guides to provide a great service for people and fathers and sons and friends. And, you know, like, dude, my dad and I want to travel the country and go fish. Dude, I don't know where the heck to start on Okeechobee. It's 200,000 acres. Thanks, Luke.
Not to completely interrupt you, but I had a co-angler one time. One of the first Bassmaster Opens I ever fished down there. We draw out. It was like the old days. They would be like Luke Duncan and Jimmy Rogers, you know, at the meeting. Like, they would do the pairings, right? It wasn't a text. I get to go to the meetings, and they called out each boat number and partners. So I get this guy, dude. I've been there for like, it was no off limits. I've been there like 6 days just hammering, you know, and it was tough as nails. In the fall, this old boy walks up to me. He's never seen the lake, and he's like, "Hey, man, I'm Jimmy. Oh, hey." And he sees I'm a young guy. I was like 20, whatever at the time. And he's like, "You catching them?" I'm like, "Dude, it's pretty tough out there." He goes, "I hear they're catching them in the grass." And he's being so unbelievably like secretive and thinks he's like dropping knot. And I said, "Hey, homie, the lake's 40 miles long and 45 miles wide, and it's all grass. Every bit of it's grass. Where do you want to start?" Like, it made me so mad. He was like, Hey, man. They catch them in the grass. I was like, are they? This is a sidebar that I've never, obviously never gotten over, never forgot. But this guy was like 60 years old. He was like, "They're catching them in the grass." Like, I was an idiot for saying, "Dude, I'm not on 20 a day. I'm not on 20 a day, you know?"
Throw a dart at a map and you go and fish grass on Okeechobee.
I hear they're flipping that grass. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are they?
Good.
Cool.
Yeah. Where are they finding
it? We're just going to start at the ramp and fish to the other end and see what happens.
Oh, man, that is awesome. Freaking love it, man.
Yeah. So that's where you started on Okeechobee, Austin. That's a fish tip I can sell. Grass.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But that's it, man. And, you know, there when we started, you had like the hardcore guys. They're like, "Well, go find your own fish. People need to go find their own fish." And I'm like, it's easy for you and me to say something like that because I'm on the water every day. Like, I do find my own fish. I love finding my own fish. It's the challenge to me. But like a doctor who's got two kids that play travel ball, who has a boat, and maybe he goes once or twice a month and he doesn't have time to go find his own fish. Like,
he's got a day or half a day, 6 hours with his kid while they're at a ball tournament or something, you know?
He has 4 or 5 hours, or maybe it's a business partner who, man, he does business, and he's like Adam, our other co-founder, he has a house at the lake and is like, "Dude, I don't know when I can go to the lake house. It's random weekends, random times. And if I have 4 or 5 hours to go try to make a memory with a buddy or a business partner or something, like, I just want to tip in the right direction." And man, there's a lot of people that are willing to compensate experts, professionals, to educate them. So, man, like I said, I'm really excited. The exciting thing for me, I guess, is like the truth always comes out. And at the beginning, I think so many people thought that we were just a smash and grab. We're just selling waypoints. That's what everybody and their mama said. And listen, one of my very best friends, Ben Milliken, you know, he made a post that said like, "What every Texas angler wants, selling my waypoints." And, you know, like, so literally, to this day, I still talk to guys. Say what?
I said, Ben will stir the pot. He'll stir the pot.
He's a professional. That's right. He's one of my best friends. He can stir the pot, dude. You want a shrimp, boy? You're going to get some sausage in with your shrimp. My boy can stir the pot. Now, listen, though. So to this day, though, a lot of people are still like, "Is this the waypoints?" And I'm like, okay, listen, as a guide, what kind of guide would I be if I never said a word? I just rolled up to a waypoint and just sat there in the boat and did nothing. People would be like, "That would be weird." I'd be like, so our platform would be weird. Like, that's not what our platform is. Our platform is an educational tool. Dude, when you were walking around at Red Crest, you had just walked up. You had missed a conversation. I asked 10 people in a row, "Do you know what a secondary point is?" Do you know how many people knew what a secondary point was, Luke?
This many?
None of them. What you and I consider passive talk, man, I was fishing a secondary point, channel swing.
Yeah, the lingo.
A couple laydowns. Yeah. Like, dude, there's such an educational gap between the top level guides and pros in the industry and then normal recreational anglers that are just hoping they don't zero, dude. And, you know, like I said, if there's a transaction willing to take place, then like, let it be. Here's at the end of the day, you know, and this was I got a lot of things I could say. People were hating on me and I'm like, "Y'all, this is capitalism. Are you American? Like, I don't want to hear you complain anything about the election if you're going to be upset about capitalism. Like, please, like, we have seen a niche in the market. We are sincerely trying to help both parties, because in a marketplace, if both parties don't see value, it won't work. And we're seeing a ton of value from both parties, you know, but it's just like, that's like, it's capitalism, it's America, it's fishing, it's beautiful, and we're just trying to make it happen.
Listen, so, Austin, you could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman wearing white gloves, buddy. Yeah. I watched you work them. He was walking around Red Crest, dude. He was walking around the Classic. I love the passion, man. I do. I know I've said that again on this show. I've told you this many times. Like, I do. Like, it's to me, it's like palpable. Like, you do believe in it. And then, hell, I had like two conversations with you, and I'm like, hey, dude, I'm in. Like, let's ride. Yeah. This is really cool. And you're slowly but surely, I'll put you on the spot. Did you add David Dudley to the platform? Like, is David Dudley going to be on the platform? Was that an announcement, or were you just name dropping? Was that all that was?
So no, I had spoke to David. I'd spoke to him at the Classic, by the way. Didn't know if you know this, but my boy, David can dance.
Listen, okay. Dude.
He was,
Listen.
No, you listen. My boy David can throw down on the dance floor.
I know so much about David Dudley. It's scary. And I do know that Dudley, listen, he stopped the Low Budget Live. The Fat Rascals and I were on stage, and Dudley just appeared like a beacon in the night. He split the crowd and was just there. Was David Dudley, my fishing hero, right there. He was there. He was throwing down. I mean, throw it down. David also punched me. Have I told you the story? I can't remember. David was telling me this very this very crazy story. I'll leave the details out about his life. And he punched me in the expo, in the chest, center mass, as hard as he could. And people who were around were like, are they in a fight? Because he's really animated like I am. He talks with his hands, you know. And he was telling his story. He's doing this. And then he drew back. And I was like, is he? Oh, he did. And Dudley punched me. And people were like, are they okay? And we were fine. Like, he's my bro. Like, David and I, we're boys. But that was, he physically assaulted me in Tulsa at the expo center.
Hey, so David Dudley did say he is joining our platform. I'll tell you who else just signed up to be a digital guide on our platform today is Mr. Rick Klun.
Come on, dude. Let's go.
I talked to Melissa. I talked to his wife today. I mean, they're really excited about it. Once again, it's like, yeah, dude, I'm excited about it. I mean, we have a lot of traction. Like I said, a lot of people are starting to figure out, like, You can't hide the truth. Like, eventually the truth comes out. We're not a smash and grab. We're not a nasty under the table. Like, we are just a platform that sees two winning sides of this transaction. And that's what we're trying to make happen, man. I mean, like I said, so my business is Dream Catchers. My guide business is Dream Catchers. And when I think about my life, I want to help people reel in their dreams, whether that's business, whether that's with their health, whether that's with a memory on the water. And I literally believe in this because this is helping people live a better life. And that, at the end of the day, when we're sitting on our deathbed, wherever we are, like, when we look back, I don't want people to say, I wish I would have taken the chance to be a pro angler, but I couldn't make enough money. And it's like, hey, here was an opportunity for you to make some extra money to, like, man, go pursue that dream. Or, hey, I wish I had more successful trips with my dad fishing or whatever. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I think about my life, I want to leave a legacy on this industry that impacts millions of people, not just thousands, not just my family. I want to impact millions of people. And I really, really believe that we can do this through technology, digital guiding, helping guides and helping recreational anglers maximize their time on the water. So anyways, that's it. That's where I'm at. I'm planting my flag. If you don't like it, I don't care.
You don't like him, message him or get in his YouTube comments. He posts his YouTube comments all the time. They like to give you a hard time like they like to give me a hard time, Austin. You steady. They steady on you. I like it. You fight them off. I love it.
Hey. Yeah, well, good deal, man. Well, guys, I have got to go put down my stampede of children upstairs to bed. And appreciate you for letting me hop on.
Absolutely, dude. Great time. We'll do it again. We'll go. We need to do an in-person one. I think you and I could get in some trouble rambling on here for sure.
Yes. In fact, I think we need to set a time and a date and talk. Dude, let's just do it. Wherever the wind blows, let's take us.
Let's make it happen. We're ladies and gentlemen, cool. Well, Austin Dreamcatchers, Neary. Hey, appreciate you, buddy. And just like that. Listen, you won't meet anybody more fired up.
No, he's got me. I was fixing to buy some way plugs.
You were buying some tips right then. Were you over there on your phone? Somebody said, of course, it's hard to get a word in when it's Austin and I. We like to talk. Yeah. You like to talk too, though, Todd Hammond. Yeah. And I saw somebody in the comments, they said, is that Luke's bodyguard? Did Luke get a bodyguard? They missed the intro of the show. They didn't hear the Southern Boating Supply. Fishtips.com is how you find that platform, Scott. Fishtips.com. Austin has the gift of back gab, even more so talking swim baits. Rich coming in hot, hella bass, no doubt about it, dude. Absolutely. If you don't follow Austin, the big bait life, and his where he's at over there in the country, those North Carolina lakes, he catches some absolute big ones. Our next guest texts me that he's close. And when you see who the guest is, you will completely understand that he is why he's late. you'll be like, oh yeah, that's why he was late. I was late tonight, as we all know. And then I sold waypoints to Luke Duncan when he was on the FLW. He no longer tours. Yeah, exactly. Thank you a lot. Thank you a lot for all those waypoints. Actually, my problem was I never would do that. I was stubborn. I was stubborn, and most of the people around me were doing that. That is for sure. So our guest tonight will join us. I'll let you guys start guessing. You know who it is. Yeah. You know who's coming on.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. It's going to be fun. I think this might break the record. He will officially be will own the record for most low budget live guest spots.
Really?
I think this will do it. Yeah. I think tonight. And I don't officially have that record written down. I should. Yeah. But I know he's way up there. We've done a lot of shows. So I think tonight, but I know we've never, to my knowledge, done it live. We've never done the damn thing live. So we're going to get him. He is a Florida man. All the headlines, anytime I read, Florida man wrestles alligator in a swimming pool. I always think about this man. Florida man arrested for going off the high dive in a Speedo while eating Cheetos. This man. That's what I always think about. Florida man. Florida man caught feeding a honey bun to an iguana. You know, at an old folks home. I think about this man. I do think about this man. He's going to be here soon. And my microphone sucks tonight. I don't know what's going on. Todd, did you buy some fish tips?
Yeah, I'm all over it. I'm fixing to go. I'm going back to North Carolina. I'm going fishing with Austin, too.
Hey, that's what he called me last week, and we were talking big baits, and he didn't realize that. And you hear me talk about big swim bait stuff. Now, look, I'm not dialed on that in any sense of the imagination, but I do like it. Like, that's kind of an addiction of mine, has been for very many years. And I started throwing out some stuff to him, and he was like, wait a second. I didn't know you were into all that. I was like, yeah, I do that really more than I fish conventionally, more times than not over the last few years. Patrick coming in hot that he got drunk on y'all sweet tea this weekend. I had to put up with stupid dumb Darian this weekend at the Alabama Bass Trail on Logan Martin Lake, where I weighed in a wiener dog, Little Dickie. Shout out Little Dickie. I got to just keep saying that because I know there are other MCs in fishing. You know, they got their thing. I know some cool moments happen in weigh-ins. No moment better than weighing in a wiener dog.
That was the best.
That was the best of all time, maybe. I think so. I think it was the best of all time. But I did Little Dickie right there. Yep. Shout out LD. Little Dickie. The bad thing was when we weighed him, he weighed 16 pounds, and you can see in the clip So it's a family friendly event, the Alabama Bash Trail. And I try to be respectful of that, you know, and I do make some jokes. I made two jokes on ABT Live earlier that day that I got in trouble over. I did get in trouble. Miss K was on my ass. Yeah. Nobody can see that, but the group text was going a little hot because of a couple jokes I made. And Darian and my buddy Jason Duran didn't help me with that, but I did. I sent a couple out there on ABT Live, and I got the, you watch it, watch it. I got that. And so we do the Mountain Dew Big Bass of the Day. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, and you can see on the clip, Mountain Dew Big Wiener of the Day. But I caught myself and I was like, the Mountain Dew Big Dotson of the Day. But I, you know, because if it was on here, look, our guest is fucked up. I don't have you live yet, but I will in just a second. But then Little Dickie weighed in and it was great. You know who would have enjoyed Little Dickie? Our guest today. He would have enjoyed it. He would have enjoyed that weigh-in experience. This man is undisputed the LBL guest of all time, he's fished the most tournaments of anybody in professional bass fishing. He is the Florida man. He is the man, period. He is one of my favorite people in this entire world. And ladies and gentlemen, as he gets ready for practice at the St. John's River, he agreed to join us live on Low Budget Live to talk about catching 9-pounders, to talk about redeeming his season a little bit in event 3. He's had a rough go of it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a Cox Watch. John Cox, what's up, buddy?
Man, I had no idea this was live. I thought we were recording.
Oh, no, we're
this
so and live tonight. Oh, I thought I had said that. Here you are. No, you're good. You're good, buddy. We had Austin Neary on from Fish Tips, and Austin talks as much as I do, so you're good, buddy.
Oh, okay. Gosh, I had no idea. I'm kind of nervous now.
There's 225,000 people watching right now on Low Budget Live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Peroznik robbed Cox for Big Bass coming in hot.
I'm telling you, I probably told 10 people on the way home, be like, yeah, you know, it's all right. At least we got big fish. And then I saw that pop up. And I was like, man, I was like, do I call back all those people and tell them, you know, I didn't get it? Or, but man, it's crazy. I mean, it was a cool tournament. It was definitely different, you know, but.
What's going on over there, man? Why does the Harris chain suck now? Because,
you know, it's. I think it's the pressure and, you know, the pressure and a lot of stuff changing. You know, the lakes didn't look as clean. Like when that grass was growing offshore, you know, all the way out into the middle, it was really able to withstand the, you know, hold the bait in it and everything. And I think, you know, I think they might have just killed a little too much off this go.
That's what I've been hearing a lot of that, you know, and I've been to the Harris chain many times over the years and it's always one of my favorite places, but man, it just seems like it's really stingy now. And the guys caught them. I mean, that was cool to see a 10. You caught a 9. Did you catch that one with your eyeballs? I'm guessing.
Yeah, I did. I eyeball scoped that one.
Eyeball scoped that one.
I don't know if it was on a bed or not, but it was like in a hole in the grass, and I was like, I don't remember seeing a log in that hole, and I threw my general over to it, and it ate it. I was like, oh my god, it was crazy.
I feel like you have. I talked to you a good bit, and I feel like you have more stories like that than anybody I know in fishing. You're like, oh, yeah, and then I was just over there, and I threw that general, and dude is like a 7.3, you know, and then I threw behind the boat, and I caught a 6. I was talking to you at Amistad at the MPFL championship, and you were like, bro, I had 2 6-pounders chase my general, and I just watched – or my coal shad, and I watched where they swam, and I just threw my general over there, and they ate it on day one. Yeah.
I mean, and that's how it goes sometimes, and that's – this season's been like that. It's been like, you know, you go into day one, you're like, I'm going to win this thing. Everything's going right, and then you go to day two, and you weigh 7 pounds. I think that's happened to me. I don't think I've weighed over 11 pounds on day two, the last, whatever I fished, 9 tournaments, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's like I wake up the next morning and forget, you know,
forget
what
where
I'm doing,
at.
I guess.
You forget where they're at.
I don't know.
Well, you've just finished
them all day one. I don't know.
are they getting intercepted before they get to you now? Is that the problem?
They are definitely. I kept thinking like, oh, that's not it. But what I've come to, what I think's happening is, I mean, those fish are getting caught on the way there. I mean, it's, you know, I keep thinking, oh, that can't be. But I think the fish live out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then when they come to the bank, they're either just coming to feed, get some sun. You know, I don't think they live there necessarily as much as we think they do, you know.
I think we've proven that for sure, yeah. That they don't live up there as much as we thought. But now you're right. There's like a steady army waiting before they can get up there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I don't know what it's going to do long term. I mean, it might be fine, but I feel like they're always moving.
Yeah,
you know, like they're always on the run. There's no safe place for them anymore, which is making, you know, you're having to move around a little more. But I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you.
Well, so before the season, you told me you were thinking about, we did a show, and you said you were thinking really hard about going to the dark side. You're like, I may go forward facing this year, Luke. And I'm like, don't do it, John. You said it on this show. And you know what? You haven't done it. It's just.
Oh, no. I've thought about it, though. I mean, I have it in my front seat of my truck. Not to let anybody out there. I don't want to see my windows busted in next tournament.
They're
but
done.
I have one in the front seat of my truck. And I look at it, you know, and I'm just. It's almost something that, you know, I want to try it and start to use it. I don't think I'll be able to focus long enough on it to do well with it. But then part of me, too, is like, man, once you start doing that, I don't know if there's any going back. I don't know if there's any, flipping into the weeds, swim jigging, you know, stuff that what I love fishing. I don't know if you do that anymore, you know.
No, I agree. There's the guys that are all in with it. I think that's what makes them dangerous because it's all they want to do. And I think that's why veteran guys like yourself I talk to Gerald about it a lot, like, or an Andy Morgan, dude, I'm not putting myself in y'all's category at all, but I'm just saying we grew up fishing a certain way, right?
Right.
And so it's so hard. Like, I enjoy forward facing, but I'll go do it for a little bit, and then I want to go skip a jig under a dock.
Yeah.
Because that's how I like to fish. But these guys that are just 1,000,000% committed to it, and that's all they're going to do.
Right.
I think they'll always be better. It's so hard for a guy just to switch up after so many years. Andy Morgan's videos on social media have been killing me, man. I don't know if you've seen them. Like, they're brutal, dude. It breaks my heart to a certain extent.
Every time I watch one, I feel what he's feeling. Someone like him, he's been able since, the 90s, he's been able to just, you know, fish off instinct, you know, and just run and stuff and make a really good living. And now it's like, you know, we were just fighting to get checks, you know, but
yeah, he made one at Del Hollow, and I know you saw it, and he's like, I got a check. That's a good thing. He's like, the wind blew, so the scopers couldn't catch him, or I wouldn't have got a check. You know, Andy's always as straight up as it gets, man. Like, he's going to give you exactly what he's thinking. And I've talked about on this show multiple times. I don't know where I'm at with it. Like you said, I don't know where it's all headed. I really don't. Like, I enjoy using it. My kids, like, especially my youngest, like, it makes him want to go more.
Right.
I really do think. But at the same time, I'm proud of the fact that, like, he also likes to go throw a chatterbait, and he likes to go throw a coal shad around and, like, fish the bank too. But it does make him more interested in it, right? Like, it just does. So, I don't know, man.
Well, you're catching more fish, I think. I mean,
I think you are, or at least that it's like when you're sight fishing and you're seeing a lot of fish, you at least feel like, okay, I'm around them.
Yeah, right? any cast now, yeah.
And so I think that deal, like, you're always seeing something. So it's like, ooh, you know. So I think it keeps, especially a kid, it keeps them a little more plugged in when, you know, even if you only get four bites all day, they still feel like there's an opportunity all the time. So I don't know. There's pros and cons. What do you think? Todd and I were talking about it earlier. This is Todd, by the way. I don't know if you've ever met Todd. Todd is my Southern buddy.
See you that well. But that's...
I think you guys met at MPFL. I'm sure
MPFL.
His son Hayden fishes MPFL. And Todd is one of my podnas in Southern Boating Supply. Shameless plug. Southern Boating Supply. John, your anchor for quality boat parts. Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, established 2024. Hit us up, southernboatingsupply.com.
Yeah.
Give us some love. Yeah. Got these new hats too, John. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, you can't say
those
it.
Are nice.
Yeah, those are nice. Yeah. You contractually you probably can't wear one, but we'll talk next year.
Probably not.
I don't even remember what I was saying. Oh, being a sight fisherman that you are, obviously we roll up on one and we snag it while it's on the bed. That's not cool. That's not ethical. That's all that jazz.
Right.
A clip is it was shown on live. I won't name the angler because I'm not trying to throw that much shade. But I'm just saying, one was snagged in the stomach on a jerkbait. Forward-facing sonar, short cast, he yanks.
Yeah.
Catches a big one, it's in the belly. Do we need, if it's going to be allowed, I'm going to ask you this without any bias, do they need to be caught in the mouth?
Gosh, I don't, you know, I'm torn about that because – when I'm fritz siding, when I get into a big wad of them,
it's tricky.
I mean, I'm talking when I get them and I can feel it bumping through them and I'm like, oh, God, get ready, you know, and I'm running it through them and one slaps it and I snatch it and it hooks another one. I mean, I won whatever that one in Texas was, Sam Rayburn. I had a 5-pounder hooked in the back and I think a 6-pounder one of the days. You know, reeling through them, which I you know,
just a big school. It was just a big school of them,
you know.
I've done it on Pickwick many times.
Yeah, so I just don't know, you know, but I don't know.
how do you police? I don't know. It's tough, man. That's a tough deal.
I'm not going to lie. I watched something live today, and it was pretty incredible. One of the guys pulled up, and, like, they showed his screen, and I don't know what I'm looking at, and I'm like, he's fixing to catch them there. Like, I mean, I already, you know, you could tell they were there and you could watch them come up and
did it make you want it on your boat right then? You wanted to go get it on the front seat for the St. John's?
I don't know. It does at times, but I don't
know. Keith gave in to the dark side, didn't he?
He did. And I just feel like he's all over the place. And, like, our conversations just aren't the same anymore. You know, he starts talking about fishing, and I'm like, let's talk about something else.
Is the band breaking up? It's not the same. Is the band going to break up over this?
No, it's just not the same. Like,
he's a traitor.
We're like, oh man, I went and flipped all day and got 5 bites or whatever. And now it's like, oh man, I caught 70 of them today out there on my spinning rod and over 10 feet, you know. It's just like, oh, that's cool, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to get into it, Luke. I'm trying.
I have zero faith that you're going to. I know. I probably
actually looked up some of the Redfish Tour.
You told me this. So tell this story on LBL.
No one's scoping them, you know. I'm like, you know, and they look like they're just fishing shallow flats. I might try it some. I don't know if I'll catch any. I've only caught like 3 or 4 redfish in my life. But
okay, so this is breaking news. John told me this at the MPFL Championship because he's been having a rough season. And he caught him day one, and he's like, dude, I was depressed going into this. I've been sad. Keith and I'm kind of tore about the forward-facing thing, and I looked up. He tells me this. I'm interviewing him. I'm, like, taking notes for MPFL, and he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to fish some pro redfish tournaments next year. I'm like, what? And it's real life. Like, you want to do it.
Yeah, I think I am. I mean, I don't know. It looks cool. I mean, it'd be fun. I could actually fish with Keith. So that might be, you know, I don't know. Might be something to look for next year, you know.
Dude, if those redfish guys ever start scoping them, it's over. Understand that. I got a buddy that's a redfish guy down in the Panhandle, Michael Cowart. Shout out Captain Mike in Panama City. And I'm like, they catch them around bridges a lot. And I'm like, bro, you got live scope?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, you should do that.
Yeah, they probably will if it hasn't caught on yet.
Can you imagine what a 28-inch red looks like on live scope?
No.
Dude, I think I would like that. I think I would have fun with that.
We should make that our trip. I mean, we need to go on a trip here one of these days. Hey, we'll go over there.
Yeah, we can do that. Captain Mike catches Captain Mike catches a lot of big tarpon too over there in Panama City. We need to go with Captain Mike for sure. So are you going, what is it, the IFA? There's several of those trails. Which one are you looking at?
Oh, gosh. The one I was kind of most interested in, I think it was, I don't know, it was the one PowerPole was like a big sponsor of or whatever. I can't remember off the top of my head. I've actually struggled to find it again on the internet. But that was when I was showing Keith, like, championships, like 125,000. you know, I don't know if that's like over a couple days or whatever. I don't know. I gotta research.
I feel like
more.
You and Keith would be trouble in a redfish derby because they do catch some sight fishing a lot, and I feel like y'all would be trouble.
Yeah, I just think it'd be kind of like the old days, like, you know, where, you know, setting each other. I mean, I remember when we would have spawning tournaments and, you know, one of us would be like pulling the other one around and be like, go right here. You know, like it was pretty much the same thing, you know.
They're doing the Alabama Bass Trail, and Trey Swindle and I fished the 100s for a couple of years, but commentating them this year and doing the on-the-water coverage, there's nothing better than a team tournament, dude. Nothing better. Like, I watched a couple guys sight fish this weekend on Logan Martin, and it's that – one dude truly pulling another one around, getting him ready. Okay. And then easing the poles down. All right. They're changing baits. One partner's getting as he's – it was funny. We pulled up on this team, and the guy that was doing most of the casting at the fish, you could tell he was a little bit more dialed. That was his deal. And the other guy really didn't want to do it. And it was funny. He was eating a sausage biscuit.
Yeah,
but then he's just waiting with the net, and he's got a sausage biscuit, and then he's like, hey, hand me one of those crawl. Okay. He eases up the box, but the other guy's up there on his knees throwing it to fit. But it was so cool to see how they – and it's so – I say it's like a dance almost, though. Watching the really good teams, like I got to cover the team that ended up winning two different times during the day, and they were crushing. And watching them, like one hooks it, they net, you know, the other dude nets it. Then as soon as he lays the net down, he goes and gets on the trolling motor to keep them fired up. Like, watching that whole thing is just so cool to me in team tournaments. And then the fist bump, nobody's pissed off. Yeah. You know, everybody's just, it's really cool. That's one thing. ABT, that's like, wow. That's how we all started in tournaments is team stuff. And, man, I think so much of that gets lost in pro fishing. I really do with no team events, really. Other than the general tire, whatever in the world it is that Boyd does, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
They talk to each other all the time. They're like, hey, I'm over here.
Yeah, I was going to get in the pilot thing, and then I guess they kicked me off of it or something. I don't know.
You got kicked out because you fished all the other tournaments, too.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
But yeah, that's probably what it was.
It looks cool. But I talked to Keith about maybe doing the Alabama Brass Trail thing. That'd be fun.
Dude,
please
come fish tomorrow. 100s,
if we don't
do
the redfish thing, maybe we'll do that, you know.
Bro, they pay so the 100's $25,000 on a Saturday. It's a 1-day derby for only 100 boats, and they're fishing next year. They're going Guntersville in January, which will be just a straight slugfest. Eufaula in June, and then Wilson Lake in November.
Wow.
I mean, dude, and I think sign up.
Oh, wow. Going out of Wilson there? That'd
Wilson. Cool. Out of Shoal Creek, dude. She's the first.
Oh, wow.
It's like first big event in my life that I can ever remember. She called me before she signed the contract. She's like, do you think we can pull this off if we use this ramp? And that's Kay's imagination on stuff. She's taking those 100s to a couple of lakes where she can't take the full 225. And Florence, Alabama signed up, dude. We're going out of Wilson, out of Shoal Creek, there at the marina at the bridge.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
that'll be really exciting.
And you know me, that's like my home pond. Like, I love that lake. That one's going to be fun.
It's a great lake.
It's going to be fun.
I always fish it a day in practice, and I'm always too scared to lock. So.
Well, it's like MPFL. Yeah, that Hayden, Todd's son, cracked him in last year. How many got locked out the first day there?
Six or eight got
locked out. But it would have been a majority. Well, you were in that event. Caught them in that event. Yeah. It would have been a lot of guys would have been in the top 10 day one, though, had they made it back because they had bags.
John was
right. I wouldn't have got
Hayden
a check
where he was at.
If
he's like,
that didn't happen.
Last day, John come by Hayden. He's like, hey, hint, I got to go in for you, but you might want to go to the back there.
Yeah.
That's and Hayden was out there throwing that rattle trap.
Yeah, throwing that rattle trap at the mouth.
Yeah, listening to that country music online. Yeah. I'm like, this boy, he was 17 at the time. I'm like, he don't give a damn. I'm saying alive. Like, he's just listening to, he's out there listening to them Morgan Wallen. Yeah. He's just like, he don't even care. Just chunking and whining. Like, he's been fishing for 50 years. I'm like, dang, boy, this boy's trouble right here. He don't even have a pulse at this point. Yeah. I'm like, he's not nervous at all to have a cameraman with him. What is going on?
Wow.
So crazy, man. So we got a question. The guy you know right here says congrats on the 15th place, and I'll echo that. You're 40th or 41st in the points, dude. Like, that's three events in. That's fine, right? You know what I mean? You've been top 10 in the AOI, but, like, rough start to the year, and it's been a weird year, though. A lot of guys that have been catching them didn't catch them in Florida, which typically happens. We see that.
Yeah.
There are a few that kind of did well in all three, but – it's really a mashup in the points right now.
Yeah, I mean it has been a very weird start to the year. I don't know if I'm not really fishing as great as having, you know, the other ones in the past years. But I don't know. I just I think stuff's changing, you know. It's not you know, a lot of these lakes aren't the same lakes that we're used to fishing, and you know, and the weights are going up. I mean, Harris Chain didn't look that bad. You know,
on paper
with the weight.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look too bad, but I mean, it was tough.
It's grimy.
It was, oh yeah, it was. It reminded me of Harris Chain, like in the old days. You know, where it was
brutal.
You know,
yeah,
just so tough. I mean, I caught 7 pounds the second. I caught big ones the first day, and I was like, "Oh, this is great." And then 7 pounds the next day. You know. And then it would have had 7 pounds the third day, but I luckily caught a 9-pounder and gave me like 14 pounds or something, you know, like it just,
that's a typical wild Florida bag. I feel like that's like some of those old Toho bags too.
Yeah.
John, yeah. Comment on the TAA. We're getting a comment here from Chris J. How was that event?
Man, I'm telling you. So I got shellacked, you know, I finished towards the end, but man, it was the most fun. I mean, it, you know, talking about being back in the team tournament, club tournament days, we showed up, me and Keith left at like 3 a.m, drove all the way, through the morning. We got there at like 11 or 12 for the ride around. Everybody was hanging out. We were, they had a food truck there, and, it was epic. The takeoff for the ride around, the 4-hour ride around was that they sent, there's, you know, 47 of us. They all took off. You know, everybody took off at one time.
Shotgun.
It was,
yeah.
It was, I got chills watching it. I mean, I pulled off to the bank and got out on the dock just to watch them because I was like, I don't want to get run over. But it was so cool seeing everybody take off. And then, everybody was cool and smiling. And, man, talk about, you know, going into the first day, you know, only having that ride around, not making a cast. Man, I was nervous. I was like, you know, I mean, I was shaking while I was retying, and it was just, it was really exciting. And unfortunately I went the wrong way. Cause when I came in, everybody's like, oh yeah, they're on bed so good down at the lower end. You can throw a buzz bait around and catch them, you know?
And
so
they, I was like,
oh man, I'm in the wrong part of the lake, you know?
Yeah. They cracked them. I mean, Chris Johnson caught an 8-pounder looking at him on Lanier, like, holy crap. Insane. Yeah.
Place is full of fish, and man, awesome tournament. I think we're gonna have another one coming up soon, and yeah, I mean, it was a blast.
Well, I'm thinking about coming out of retirement for those. If I can work it out,
those would be worth it.
Yeah, well, I talked about this on the show, and Hayden was gonna go fish as well, as long as like Jacob Prize. I mean, there was a long list of us that had talked about going, and we ended up, we had some business stuff we had to kind of handle that week with Southern Boating, to be honest, was ultimately why I didn't go. But I was all in when it was 200 boats too, right? I was like, dude, this is going to be a spectacle. Like, I can't wait to see how this is going to go. But, man, I really do think that Alan's a sharp guy. I think he's going to figure it out. I think the hype, y'all have got me excited about it. Like, what is it the kids say, FOMO, fear of missing out?
Yeah.
Like, hearing y'all talk about it, like, dude, I've been bummed, and I was bummed that week. Like, once the first few posts started going up from like the anglers, I'm like, damn it. Yeah. And it's you and Andy and the like all the old FLW guys, my buddy Jason Johnson, JJ that fished FLW, Rob Jordan, like so many friends of mine were there, and I'm like, this really sucked. Gussie, I'm like, damn it, man. Yeah. It would have been fun just to hang out, dude.
Yeah, it was kind of like the old FLW days. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that it had that same group of guys and stuff. And it was just, man, it was cool. Like, everybody kind of hung out at the weigh-in and everything. And a bunch of the local guys actually showed up. Like, we were surprised. I didn't know anybody knew it was going on. But a lot of people came out. And
That's cool,
you know,
man.
Yeah, I spent like, you know, hour, 2 hours after weigh-in just hanging out. So it was a lot of fun.
It's like old FLW, but no Bill. Hey, John.
Yeah, no Bill. We should have Bill out there. We had what's his name as their tournament director. He was great. Drawing a blank.
Dadgum it.
Oh, my gosh.
Knuckles.
I can't think.
James.
Knuckles. Yeah, we had James Knuckles. Yeah, he was great. He was fantastic on the microphone telling everybody what to do, and so it was good.
Yeah, fantastic, man. Yeah. Well, great to hear. All right, I got another Florida question for you. We're going to get controversial right here. So Bernie Schultz made a post about this today. old Byrne, who's a veteran dude. He's been around 40 years, and he says, in all my years of bass, we've never been able to fish inside a lock. Well, apparently Trey McKinney today, I saw it on camera, and I thought that lock in particular had no fishing signs. Now, he said on camera, hey, I called and asked, and they said it's okay. Dude, yeah. Can you fish inside a lock in Florida?
I never have either.
I didn't think you could.
But I guess he called the lady, because so I walked through with him the third day.
Yeah.
And when I pulled in, I was like, oh my God, there's manatees in this lock, you know? And I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, we're never going to get through, and they're going to pinch one in the doors. And then I look up and I see him and what's his face throwing at the doors. And I'm like, wait, what are you guys doing? You know? And so I was kind of shocked, but they said they asked, you know, and I guess the lock lady said it was fine. She was a super nice lady, and all the lock tenders there are really nice. You know, you go to some places, you pull on the horn a little too long, and they're like, come on, you know, they come out there yelling at you. But they're super nice there. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was pretty smart of him. Like, I didn't realize I watched some of the video back.
Dude, it's weird to me that a fish would bite in one, I guess. Well, I've been through a lot of
locks. He would actually go back in, and as they were filling it up, he would catch them as they were filling. So he was just going in and out, in and out, in and out. I mean, I'm like,
no,
man, who would have thought?
That's genius. I mean, dude, that's genius. That's genius. I'll give him that. Yeah. I mean,
I would have done anything to get that topwater bite during the day. Oh, my God.
No doubt. They're crushing that thing. I mean, shout out to him as long as it's legal. And I mean, look, dude, I'm not. Yeah. Again, not trying to throw shade at Trey, but I thought that there were, like on the Tennessee River in particular, which is not the Harris chain, there's no fishing signs within so many feet of the lock.
Yeah,
like
normally,
you can't cast. I mean, they'll
normally
get on
you can't
you.
Cast inside the break walls or wherever the fenders are normally.
That's right. Yeah. Interesting, man.
I mean, I remember one FLW, I caught them off the doors, but on the outside of one of the locks there. But I don't think there was any signs or anything.
Well, I saw a video of him from day two, I think, maybe catching one on a topwater, and I thought he was throwing at the doors, like waiting to lock through. And I was like, oh, damn, what a lucky break. Like, I just didn't get to watch enough of the tournament. And now to hear he's like going in and out all day long, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Was that the lock at Griffin?
Yeah, that was the Griffin lock. Yeah.
Dude, the last time I came through there, the FLW in 18 or 19, I bombed the hell out of it, had mechanical crap. I was so pissed off. And it was 2 years in a row that lake burned me. Griffin, I thought I was going to crush, burned me. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that sweet lady at that lock. I said, hey, I was running a Ranger at the time, green power poles. I said, let me tell you something. You ever see a sumbitch right here coming with these green power poles? Do not let me in. You understand me? Turn my ass around and you send me back somewhere else.
Don't let me through this damn lock ever again.
Swear to God, do not let me through this lock. I was so mad. That lake has burned me, son. I mean,
that's what it does there. That's normal. I mean, that's not. It's crazy. You go over there and you'll have one of the best days of fishing you've ever had.
1,000,000%.
You'll go back. Like, what happened,
dude? It's like I saw them one time when they were on the bed over there, and it was like going to SeaWorld. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And I was like, I mean, I was about to throw up. I couldn't sleep. I came back to the house and told the straighter. I was like, dude, I might catch 45 pounds. Right. I've never seen crap like this in my life. Go back on day two and I'm just marking them. Oh my God. Yeah. They're everywhere. It was later in the year, and a lot of guys hadn't gone and looked. Because everybody was kind of fishing. I was like in March. That year we went in March. Yep. I forget who won.
Yeah, that was – yeah.
But, dude, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
And they were giants.
Yeah.
And I was truly shaking, like standing on the trolling motor. I was like, I couldn't sleep. Yeah, and then they were all gone.
That tournament was epic. That was like one of the last times I remember it being really, really good.
There were so many giants, dude. I fished for a 10-pounder the first day. I mean, I've never caught a 10 on the bed. I've caught a lot of 8, like, you know, 7. This was like the biggest one I ever fished for. And I found her last day of practice, and nobody in the tournament found this fish that I saw. And I go to it, and there was a local. And he was in there just going, I'm coming around the corner and he's just on high and he's going like all the beds I got marked in this little canal. I'm like, oh my God. So, and it takes forever to get over there. And it was, you know, well after daylight or whatever, he's in a little pro craft. He slides over to me and he's like, yeah, I don't know if that one's going to bite or not. And it's that 10. And I said, oh yeah. And he said, no, man, I caught the mail by accident this morning, and she hasn't been the same since.
Oh.
And I said, dude, are you fishing a tournament or anything today? And he's like, no, man, I just took off work. And I was like, well, I don't guess I can blame you because there's a lot of giants in here, but Jesus, I wish you hadn't done that. And dude, she wouldn't, like, there was a dock next to her, and she would back, like, you'd pitch in there. She was kind of hanging outside the bed, and you'd pitch in there, and she'd back under that dock and stick her nose out like this far and watch, and you'd reel your crap out, and she'd go back out there. So smart, dude.
Yeah.
And I
just
wasted
enough to keep you staying there, dude, throwing
for hours.
Hate that.
For hours,
hate that.
Bro.
Hate just that.
Just pulled down, like, oh, I'll catch it. I'll catch it. Even if I was just going to weigh 1 for 10 pounds, I was finna catch that one.
Right.
So stupid, dude. But so was it going down like that at Harris? No, was it starting to kind of, I mean, obviously you caught a 9, Jay Prize caught a 10.
Yeah. So it was weird. Even though it's so warm, we actually had like cold front conditions the first, you know, they canceled that day when that storm came through, and then it kind of cooled off in the mornings, and it really kind of threw everything off. Like before that, the last day of practice, like bluegills started coming in. That whole bite started like happening right at the end of the day. And I was like getting really excited because I'm like, man, that bluegill thing wasn't there until that very end of the practice. But that day we had off, and then that weather came in, it just cooling off kind of kicked the bluegills back out and kind of they made the shad spawn thing kind of weird. But it just kind of pushed them off any that thought of spawning too. And then, that third day they kind of started easing back in, you know, and, the area I went to, I mean, that was probably, it was as dead as I've ever seen it. Like it was, and I was all by myself and I was like, man, this could be unreal. When I caught that big one, I was just thinking I was going to catch 4 more like that, but I just never saw any other ones.
Well, let's fast forward to this week, and I know you can't, practice starts, and you only got 2 days, man, because of this, which I thought, I'm like, how about we extend the next tournament, because that's a lot of water in 2 days when you're doing this for a living.
Out of all the places to go and only practice 2 days, the St. John's is not one of them.
That's not
it. I mean, we're like... I think our area is like 110 miles or 130 miles or something crazy.
Scott, you know? Martin made a video today. I think he said 110, 120, something along those lines. Yeah.
And it's not like you can just, I mean, I don't think you can just put in and just, I mean, I guess you could, but I feel like you got a trailer around and like, so like some of the stuff I would check, like I would put in and then I'd have an hour and a half drive to put in again, you know? So yeah, it's just it's gonna really spread out. I think I'm gonna have to not check everything and just try to like pick 2 areas and hope something happens there.
Well, I think that you probably know the right areas.
I don't know. I love fishing up there, but all the years, all the team tournaments, me and Keith, we'd always run south of DeLand from up there. So you know, it was a 2-3 hour ride down there, but we'd fish down by our house, you know, where we live. So just not till recently, you know, fishing the Bass Elites there. That's the only time I've really fished up there in that area. So
out of Palatka.
I'm slowly starting to learn it. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not as familiar with that then.
No,
people automatically just think John Cox, Florida. He's won it all on St. John's.
Yeah, but I'm learning it. I learned it a lot more. This last time I went was, you know, I kind of felt a little more comfortable and stuff. You know, we just needed to catch more than 9 pounds one of those days and we would have won. But
just I think this week, if I could give you any advice, and I try not to give somebody with your talent advice very much, but just try to, whatever you do on the first day, just do it a couple more days. You know, if you just, I don't know why you don't just catch them every day, dude.
I don't know. I'm thinking whatever I do the first day, I better do something completely different the second day.
Just it's change not, it up.
Yeah. I'll just do something.
Put live scope on your boat for day 2. Just throw everybody a curve.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Everybody a curve. All the fans, all of it, just completely throw everybody a curveball.
Oh yeah, I don't even know what would happen. When I put the Ultrex on when we got up north, it was like I was like, I got like, traitor, can't believe you put that on, you know, from having the Fortrex, you know. So I can't imagine if I put the live scope on.
If you go full
or
on
active target,
yeah, careful, sponsor plugs. Yeah. Come on, dude. Yeah, get it right. You're gonna get a phone call. What I love the most, like at Amistad in the MPFL championship, is you have the old school Fortrex or whatever. You don't have an Ultrex. and the wind was blowing 75 miles an hour the second day, and John's trying to measure bass, and the boat's just blowing on the rocks and shit, and I'm like, he's just getting battered around, and it's and it reminded me of like what bass fishing used to be. You know what I'm saying?
You decide to retie, you're like half a mile from your spot, you know?
And for 3 days, buddy, you did that. For three days down there in the desert.
And there was nothing there to hit the trolling motor on, you know, like to crash into, because I was like, man, this would have been nice to have an Ultrex on here for that tournament.
Exactly. Do you think right here, Dan Yarbrough, I'm going to throw this one to you, even though you're not the live, do you, it would be hard to live scope beds in 20 feet of water. We had a question. Somebody said they're hearing that people are bed fishing with in like 20 feet of water with live scope. Are you hearing much of that? Are we live scoping better?
Well, I heard like on standing timber and stuff, like they're getting them off of, you know, the tops of some of that stuff, you know, and I don't know if they're bedding or fry garden or, whatever, but I've been blown away how shallow you can use it, you know, and that's the scary part, you know. It's like, well, at least those ones that are decide to be way up there are safe, but they're not.
So
the only one safe might be like in a really thick mat or something, you know.
And then they're not safe because you're you're around with a big weight and whatever whatever Berkeley bait you're dropping in them. I don't know. I can't keep it up with all them damn names. The only one I know is the general. You're flipping a flapping Mac scent creature or something. I don't know.
My favorite's the crash crawl. That sucker.
Crash crawl.
That's what
I don't even know that
so
one.
So I had one of the days of practice, I was flipping the cut up stuff from all the boats out there, you know, cutting up the grass and stuff. And oh my gosh, it was an incredible bite. And then I never weighed any fish doing it in the tournament. You know, it was like they all went out to the middle. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
You got to get a live scope, dude. People just joining us will hear me say that, and I'll get like tomatoes thrown at me in public. John, listen, I was at I'm doing a charity event this weekend. We're taking some kids fishing, and that have never been here in my hometown, some local law enforcement. It was funny. We had a meeting last weekend, and I know most of the folks in there, but there are a couple guys I don't know as well. And this one old boy, he like fishes a local bass club, you know, and he was like, I'll tell you all, like, man. A damn John Cox, he don't give a damn about none of it, man. He's up there. He catches them everywhere they go, man. He ain't even got that shit on his boat. He's my damn hero. And he was like speaking for a generation, man. Like they don't want to see you with it, man.
Right. No, I know. And that's a part of me I feel like I can't put it on because, like, you know, there's some kid out there, you know, riding his bike to ponds, you know, he's never gonna be able to afford – you know, active target or live scope in his life, you know.
And, but he can afford some generals.
Yeah.
Seriously, man, like, and there is a reality to that, right? There is a reality to that. And the other side of it to me is, dude, fishing shallow is fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all fun, but, like, watching one eat my frog up there is still 10 out of 10. Like, now, look, I like watching them come after that little dot on the screen, too. I like that, too. But, dude, when one flushes my frog up there or eats my glide bait, you got me on that damn Nessie.
Oh.
Yeah, a cold shot.
That Nessie's scary. When one bites it,
buddy,
you're done. You're done. You are going to throw it for the next week, you know?
Yeah, I came home from Lanier last year. You caught him on that a little bit, day one of the MPFL. The bike kind of fizzled. You actually broke the only one you had.
Yeah, and then, the only one I had, I broke it for the next day.
And then Keith, then Keith had to give you one, and then they didn't didn't give you one, didn't eat it as good. So I came home. My youngest is obsessed with swim baits, and those are super affordable, right? Like, I've got some expensive ones that I don't want him to touch. But those Nessies are super affordable, really cool deal. Well, I bought him some for Christmas. He hadn't got to use them. I've got him some of the we don't have any of the fives. We've got like the sevens and the nines.
Yeah.
And the five's going to be really cool too, though, like for pond fishing for kids. Like, that thing's going to be like a fluke almost. You know, it'll get that's going to get a lot of bites. But the first time it warmed up this year in February, I had a little rider out. We're at this buddy of mine's lake in the boat. And I've been catching on a jig, and it just kept warming up. It was cold when we got there, kept warming up. And it got like over 60, and we got up on this flat. And he's like, Dad, I want to throw my Nessie. I said, buddy, I don't know. Water temperature's like 52. I'm like, I don't know, buddy. Like, maybe just keep throwing. He's been catching my chatterbait real good. I'm like, just keep throwing your chatterbait. No, I won't tie that on, Dad. Let's tie it on. Like, all right. So he ties on the 7-inch, dude. First lay down, we come by. He bombs that thing over by there, and he's working it really fast, almost like a fluke, you know?
Dude, yeah.
One just flushes it. And he goes, he catches him like a 4-pounder, and he gets up there and slings it in the boat, and he's like, that was amazing. And it's like it created this monster that now that's all he wants to do. It doesn't matter if it's 7 degrees outside or 70. He's like, I got to throw my Nessie, Dad. I'm like, buddy, they don't bite it every time we go. I don't care. I'm throwing the Nessie.
I know that bite. That's the stuff that, I mean, that's why I can't put it on, you know? I mean, that watching that fish come up and actually visually eat that thing and swallow that bait and set the hook. Like, I mean, I just don't want to, that's what I love.
You just don't want to go away from it. And you've got so many years wrapped up in it. And I understand where people are struggling. And something else I've said too, and is I think that something that, and you and I've talked about this too, Todd, is we were wrong for so long. Like, it's what you said, like, dude, more of them live out there than we ever realized. Like, they just live out in the abyss.
They all live out there.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
All the time. And they're more pelagic than we ever realized, right? Like, we go up north and we think, oh, he's smallmouth or pelagic under bait balls, but largemouth really don't do that. When in reality, it seems like the largemouth do that all the time, too. That's just what they do, right?
Yeah. It's crazy what we're learning, you know?
No doubt.
I mean, it's just. And, I mean, I kind of always thought that, you know, where at my old house where I'd feed the fish all the time, you know, those fish, you know, you would go down there. There were certain times they were right there on the bank. And then the rest of the time, like when it was feeding time, they would come up there. But the rest of the time, they're out in the middle sitting on brush or whatever it is, you know, they're in that, you know, wherever that water's, you know, that more of that right temperature. So it's just, it's crazy. You know, that I don't think there is a group that just lives there, you know, year round, you know.
Well, that was always the deal with Okeechobee, right? Everybody's like, oh, it's a fresh batch. It's a fresh school coming in from the lake. Like, that's always, you were trying to, like, being from Tennessee, that was always what you were told when you were down there by local guys, is like, oh, man, you got to look at their color. And if they're super white, they just got here. And, oh, my God, you've stumbled into the area. And it's, rest of the time they just live out there in the abyss, and it certainly seems like that was always the case, right? But are guys doing that at Okeechobee as much, though? Are they out there in the abyss roaming around catching them?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't feel like I hear that out there. It's different.
I mean, out there is massive. But I do see it. Like, I always remember the McMillans telling me, you know, how they get out there, well, where those rocks go. I guess there's rocks out in the middle somewhere. I don't know about any of that stuff. But how they do get out there and really catch them, you know, in the summertime and stuff.
Yeah, I've got friends that have talked about that. Good buddies down that way, and the McMillans would certainly know.
And it is crazy. I mean, so many places I remember fishing, and you know, once you got into the summer months, especially down here, it was like they just all vanished, you know. And now we know where they all are.
Yeah,
out there with the crappie.
With the crappie, eating the same thing the crappie jigs.
Yeah, or eating the crappie. I don't know. I
mean, probably eating those as well. Well, John Boy, I appreciate you, dude. Always being up for some low budget live. I'm going to get you a plaque made at some point that just says Cox Watch, and Melissa can hang that.
That'd be cool.
Hang that in your trophy room.
Yeah, put it in my little room here. I can hang it up in here.
most guests. Yeah, look at that. This is my, you know, I got this from your lovely bride. The classic hangs behind me every episode. The cornrow Cox right there.
Yeah. I do miss my hair. That's kind of what I kind of, you know, I keep thinking why it's been such a rough start to the season. And I'm like, I bet if I had that hair, I would be catching them. You know,
bring it back, dude.
Who's stopping you? My wife hated it.
She did. Okay, that's what's stopping you. Yeah. You need to keep her. She actually likes you.
She does.
Listen, and this is how I know that, because how I know she likes you, she will fly to God knows where in the country and then drive your ass to God knows where you can sleep so you can bass fish again the next day, dude.
I know. I was blown. That stretch we just did, that I don't know if it was 9 weeks straight or whatever.
Insane.
I mean, it was incredible. I'd pick her up. She would jump in that seat, drive, you know, 15, 18 hours, and then to another airport, I would drop her off, and then I would start practice, you know.
Unbelievable, man.
It was an intense, whatever. I think it was 8 weeks or whatever, or 7 weeks.
You were in Texas for what? A month solid? You had two elites, and then came back.
Or no, I had to come to Alabama and then back to Oklahoma. I don't know. It's all a blur.
So you want to be a Bass Pro.
Yeah.
So what's are you this far? I know it takes a lot of planning. We'll end with this tonight, but it takes a lot of planning to do what you do. And I know schedules aren't out or anything, but what's kind of, are you looking ahead to next year? Like, what's your thought process? Are you going to fish more boat docks? What are you going to do? Hawk in the side. What's 2025? Do you think? I know we're early. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I was just at Nan's softball game.
Yeah.
And I think it was the second or third one I've made it to this year. And she's like, I got two left. So I don't know. I'm thinking maybe next year might slow down a little. And the way it's going, too, I won't have to worry about going to all the championships. So I might only have one or two to go to. But I don't know. I mean, I don't want to slow down a lot, but I might slow down a little bit. But, I mean, that's just you know, it's what I love, you know, competing and going out there and fishing all these new places. And I'm like you, like when, you know, you were saying you were watching the TAA when, you know, you start seeing all the photos and stuff and kind of feel sick that you're not there. That's how I feel anytime I miss one or not in that tournament, you know. So that's the hard part about it, you know.
What's it's your life and livelihood, and it's tough, man. But those kids are only young once, and I certainly understand that. That's why I've made a lot of decisions that I've made. You know, it's Todd and I talk about it a lot. He travels as much as any human being I know, man. You get one ride at it. So nobody would blame you if you slowed down a little bit and added some redfish tournaments.
That or the Alabama Bass Trail. So
listen, I know a lady. We'll roll out the red carpet. I'm saying that. I'll get fired for saying it. I almost got fired all weekend. Daniel Montgomery, assistant tournament director for the Alabama Bass Trail. Right now, Big D coming in talking about Little Dicky. So, John, I think I've already said this 50 times on this, but yeah, we weighed in a wiener dog. I got to wait.
I saw that.
I know you've done some cool stuff on
my kids were like, what is going on?
Exactly what I said. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know why my brain does the things it does, but I was like, hey, sir, would you like to weigh that dog?
Yeah.
Immediately where I went with it. And he was like,
Yeah.
I'd like to do that. And I'm like, let's go. And Little Dicky became a star that day. Little Dicky weighed 16.
Yeah.
He's a fat little joker.
I heard that. I was like, wow.
And Daniel Montgomery looked at me like, we're really doing this. Actually, Daniel Montgomery texted yesterday morning and said, so in a group text we have with ABT, all the fam there. And he's like, I woke up thinking that I was dreaming that we actually weighed in a wiener dog. So I went back and watched the weigh in and nope, we really did it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the weigh-in had been chaotic, man. We had like well over 200 limits out of like 218 teams. It was nuts. Wow. I think there were like six teams that didn't catch a limit, and shame on them, right? Like, that's all I'm saying. Shame on you for not catching, because they were biting. They caught it.
Really?
And we had never caught a break. Like, the weigh-in was just stack, and right at the end of the day, the last team to weigh is this gentleman with his little dog, and I see him coming, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was so excited. And I don't even remember what he weighed. He didn't have, you know, the tournament was all but over. You know, I saw him coming up there with a few fish, but Little Dicky made his presence known. Amazing, dude.
Absolutely that was great. Amazing.
I'm just glad Miss K doesn't fire me.
Yeah.
For inappropriate behavior. She has solid chances each and every week, that's for sure. John Cox, you're the man. I appreciate it. Go win some money this week, damn it.
God, I hope so. Maybe we can get over that day too. Maybe we'll make some magic happen this week.
Yeah, do something. Do something different. I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe it'll just be a good week, you know. That's what
I love this job right here, because I get to give my friends, who are some of the greatest anglers in the world, just bullshit and just be like, why don't you catch them better?
Yeah.
You get an armchair quarterback.
Oh, for sure. I'll text them too. Like, I'll straight up, like Atkins, I'll be like, damn, dude, tighten up.
Yeah, get it together.
What are you doing out there?
I like those texts, though.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I never mean them with any sincerity. It's always just bullcrapping. But
Because
I know how it goes to to not catch them. So go out. Yeah, have a better day too. I'm not even, you're going to have a good day one. Have a better day too, Johnny.
Okay. That sounds good.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only John Cox. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Luke.
See you, bud. There he is right there. Cox Watch. That's where the soundtrack originally started. The sound effect was for John Cox. I like to give Todd, people are saying in the comments that you're not saying enough. No, and I feel like they don't even realize that you talk as much as I do in life.
Yeah, I do. You're talking. I like listening. I'm learning a lot.
What'd you learn tonight?
I'm learning all about
fishing. It's a pop quiz. What'd you learn?
I'm learning all about fishing. I suck at bass fishing.
You're a saltwater guy, though, dude.
Yeah, I take it all in, you know.
But Hayden, so your son, you told me that you had never even really bass fished that much until he was like, hey, Dad, this is – I want to get into this. And you're like,
yeah, I thought he was crazy. Yeah, he come to me. It's been bass fishing a little pond at the horse barn. His was 9 years old. It was that year at the Super Bowl. And he's like, his mom come to me. He's like, I think you should buy Hayden a bass boat. I'm going.
He's nine?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Why? I didn't know nothing. I mean, I grew up fishing ponds, never on a lake. And I'm like, are you kidding? Why does he want to do that? We chase Mahi.
Yeah, Mahi. I mean, yeah,
he's been going offshore since he's four. He's like, buy him a bass boat. And, man, I bought him a bass boat and took this guy's house. He took him fishing. I never forget going to the first tournament over at Lake Norman. I complained all the way over there. You know, I'm like, I don't know why in the world we're doing it. Nothing against it, just ignorant, didn't know nothing about it. And we get over there, man. My wife tried to kick me out of the car on the way over there. You know,
slammed on brakes. Shout out, Kelly.
Yeah, slammed on brakes a couple times, get out of the car. We got over there and had a big old stage, and actually they won it. And so I was like, man, this is pretty cool.
It immediately changed.
Yeah, it changed. And that night we went out to eat, and I was like, dude, if you're going to take it serious, because I had like a little 17, 18-foot nitro, I'm like, I'll buy you a bigger boat. I'm going to go with you. So he used to set me in the yard and teach me how to throw a bait caster. I'd bird nest one and hand me another one, you know.
That's awesome.
And so it's pretty, and I like the sport. It's a bunch of good people, you know. I'm glad we got into it.
Well, that's kind of like Woods to Water. When you guys started the rep group and you told me you're getting into it, that's the whole idea behind it. You're like, you saw a need for to really be more jobs in it,
because
you know a lot of pros. You've been good friends like a Jacob Prosnick for a lot of years, and so many other guys for the Carolinas. But you kind of saw a need, and then even for your own son, you're like, hey, maybe making a living with a rod and reel is not the most viable option all the time. We see it a lot. And so let's create a platform where we can do that. And now he's selling fishing tackle when he's not at tournaments. It's pretty dang cool, man.
It's pretty cool, man. It's awesome. He's doing well. And I like being around it. You know, it's a good group of people. It's a good purpose outdoors. You know what I mean?
No doubt about it. Yeah, look at this. We got 255,000 people right now. Yeah. Right here, a comment. I did not mention this earlier, and I meant to. Yeah, shout out to Dustin Connell. He's a new daddy. Speaking of being a daddy, him and his wife, Victoria, welcomed their new baby boy. And then somebody said Todd had an edible. He did not. He did not have an edible. No edibles tonight. Poor Todd didn't get a word in. Y'all are something tonight. All right, we fixing it. We may go have an edible. I don't know what we're fixing to do. Right now, Mike Corpusley just texted me. Shout out Mike Corpusley. Our buddy, dude. Mike. Mike's a good one. If you need a Lowrance debt finder, go see Mike Corpusley. Exactly. I'm going to post his number right now.
Yeah, post it on there. Get everybody calling. If you have any trouble, call Mike.
Call Mikey. Appreciate y'all. It's been a crazy last couple weeks with all the Watson insanity. Appreciate y'all tuning in, man. Each and every week, I'm going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. Appreciate y'all letting us just cut up and have fun tonight. Sometimes you got to have a not so serious podcast. Yeah. Last week was just absurd.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was pretty damn serious. I'm going to take you out with Biloxi Blues, and we'll see y'all next week.
From Jacksonville to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Another place, and I got three good times. dollars and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas.